Can you guys hear me? Hello, hello. Well, hi everyone. It's good to see all of you guys again. I thought I would just start off by showing you a clip of one of my favorite pastimes, reading this comic strip, Snoopy Peanuts. And so he says he was typing away on his typewriter. It was dark and stormy night. And then she looks at it and says, "No, not again." And so he goes back and writes again, "It was one of those dark nights when you weren't sure if it was going to be stormy or not." And so kind of the idea of maybe what the disciples may have been facing as we look at this passage today in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And I thought that this is where Jesus calms the storm, and I want to look a little bit further than that to see who he is. Who is Jesus? So I'm going to try something a little different today, and I hope you guys are open. I love trying different things. And I want to take a different take on this passage, looking at how the disciples experienced it. And I want to do a little monologue. So just come alongside with me, and here we go. "Come on, hurry. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. Let's get into the boat. Oh, I see my friends here, the friends on this side. Can't make up my mind which seat to take. So, what did you think of the parable of the sower that Jesus was talking about? Which one do you think you are?" "Yeah? What about me? What about me?" "No, that's not me. Wait, it's raining. Oh, come on, let's go faster. Oh, it's raining harder. Come on, it's getting cold. Give me my cloak. Let's go faster. Come on, put the sails up. Where's Jesus? What do you mean? Dig deeper into this passage and see that, you know, with them, and even with us, so many times we start to question about Jesus' character, his motive, his lack of presence. But as we look into this passage, I want us to see so much more than that. So would you, all of us, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, and let's hear what this is about. "That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A fierce squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to the disciples, 'Why do you have, or why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? That even the waves and the wind obey him.'" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this text is all about you. So would you come out of this text and grab a hold of us and make your word come alive to us today. Thank you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when evening came, we have the disciples. They're probably wondering what Jesus would be doing. So maybe he would take us to the Bible house in Capernaum, maybe to the prayer meeting or to the restaurant. I don't know. But when Jesus says, let us go over to the other side, that was like music to my ears. Maybe it was good to teach them over to the crowd, but more than ever, they were so excited to hear Jesus. They had so many questions, and they wanted this crowd to know Jesus. So when he said, let us go over to the other side, they were so excited. And they probably like got so excited that they probably left their backpacks on the shore, and so they were rolling the boat really quickly. I mean, they were so happy that to be alone with Jesus. They were probably talking and laughing and whatnot. And so they were probably looking at the envious crowd with their eyes and go, huh, you know, we got this. We're privileged. We're tied with Jesus. And so finally, they could have this mini vacation with Jesus. They wish that life was always like this. This sweet, sweet life. But before I go on, I just wanted to give you a little background information of this passage so that you guys will hopefully help you to understand a little bit more. So Jesus says, let us go to the other side. They were sailing eastward in the Lake of Galilee. So this lake was actually really small, and I got the opportunity to go there, the Lake of Galilee, a couple of years ago, and was able to sail all across the Sea of Galilee. And this trip actually took about 2 hours, so not too bad. And normally this wasn't too long of a trip, but on this occasion, it must have been a lot longer. And so we see with the southwest of the lake, there was these mountains with deep gorges. So you have this cold wind from the east side. They would blow in, and then they would rush forcefully through these gorges, and they would act as a funnel, and they would just kind of whoosh, and then form this great big wave. So you can imagine that there it was like perfectly clear sky, and then all of a sudden, with these wind all from all different directions, they would blow, and they would form this epic wave so high that they would basically cover the boat right deep in the trough. And so this kind of described a situation where, in this passage, there was a great storm. It must have been a very severe one, because it terrified even the most expert fishermen among the disciples. And we see, like, the disciple says, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And we find that Jesus was asleep back in the stern. And you can imagine that he must have been very, very tired, especially after a long day of ministry. And so he would probably curled up in a fetus position and inside the stern, just right beneath the platform where the fishermen would kneel their nets. And so even if there's a change of in the weather, it couldn't disturb him. And then all of a sudden when he heard his disciples, he got up and he says, quiet, be still. And you see Jesus rebuking the wind and rebuking the waves. And there was a great calm. Now, does that mean that we have this power to kind of shout down at our storms? Or maybe, you know, we have the ability that we don't have to panic anymore. We can just go to Jesus and maybe he will calm our life storms. But you know what? I don't think the story is about the storm. Part of the story is actually about Jesus asleep. And there's no comment made as to, you know, why he was described being asleep. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he wanted to test the disciples' faith. Or maybe he wanted to show his faith to God's providential care. Who knows? And just this past couple of months, or even just last year, there were some really great storms and winds. I don't know if you guys remember that. But every time when I remember that, when I was a little girl, I remember hearing thunder and then seeing lightning. And I would just run to my mom for help. And I would go to her, and she would just wrap her arms around me so that until the storm subsided. I didn't think at that point, you know, thinking, oh, does my mom not care about me? You know, why is she putting me through this situation? I don't want to go through this. But I think maybe on some level, for her to wrap her arms around me and that closeness, it just made me felt that the storm might be harmless. And so on some level, maybe she does know some stuff. And if her knowledge of the storm allows her to sleep peacefully, then maybe so can I. And so with this passage, I don't know about all of us, but I'm sure maybe some of you have gone through or even going through difficult times where it seems overwhelming. Maybe for some students that you feel I'm struggling through certain exams or certain subjects, or maybe not having enough time to study for your finals. Or maybe you're struggling through self-image, that you just don't like the body that you have. Or maybe financial problems, where we think that, oh, I'm just going so much in debt that I don't even know if I have money to pay for it all. Or maybe you yourself are a family member that is going and facing health issues, and you don't know whether or not there is hope. Maybe it's a loss of job, even our nation, or other nations where they are facing terrorism. And even recently with Japan, the tsunami and the earthquakes, it might have impacted them or impacted us as well. And I wonder how many times that these life storms we try so hard to avoid, they're actually simply designed for us to go through. When Jesus, he obviously had the power to stop these storms, but I think we can learn from him how he went through them. Because he says in John chapter 16, verse 33, how there are many trials and many sorrows that we're going to face. But you know what? We are not alone. And so hopefully these next three truths will help us. So we'll start with the first one, where Jesus, remember who creates a storm. We'll look at his power in creating storms. Maybe Satan might be behind the storm, or maybe it's the product of nature. But behind either of these explanations is the truth that Jesus is sovereign, and he is Yahweh. And I want to be clear on this, because there are some storms and some calamities that Jesus or God allows for it to happen. But we may not understand it, but because God, he is all-knowing, and he sees the full picture, we can see that he works everything to fulfill his plans. We may not understand it, but, you know, if it came and he sent it and allowed it to happen, then it was him. And that's a truth that's so large that sometimes I have trouble kind of wrapping around it. But just because I can't grasp it doesn't mean that it prevents it from being true. And yes, there was a storm that was so overwhelming and so big for the disciples. But here we can see that Jesus proves that he is greater than that, because he is almighty and he is sovereign over nature. So what about his purpose in creating the storms? So for the disciples, they were actually placed in the storm to teach them more about Jesus. If you look at verse 40, it says, "Do you still have no faith? Who is this?" The disciples responded, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" You see, the disciples, they already saw what Jesus has done. I mean, they should have known, right, who he was and what he could do, but they still haven't grasped it yet. And so probably Jesus had to put them in a storm to teach them. And among, you know, although the disciples, we know that they were expert fishermen, and probably they've been through many, many storms in the Lake of Galilee, God had to use an area in their lives that they felt most confident to humble themselves so that they can turn to God. And in previous chapters of Mark, we see that the disciples, they knew Jesus' power. They saw it over demons and diseases. And now they get to see his power over nature. And that's a learning experience for them. And same for us as well. And Jesus puts us in these hard places. Why? To teach us more about him. I remember from maybe a year and a half ago, I was playing volleyball, and I'm a really competitive person, so I had to, every spike and, all the ball had to, win the team. And so I was playing really hard, and I was going up for a jump, and all of a sudden, I landed incorrectly, so I collapsed on the floor. I didn't know what happened, okay? I thought I probably sprained my ankle or my knee. And then a couple of months later, I realized it was some kind of problem. I was feeling a lot of pain, and when I had my MRI checked and my X-ray, I actually tore my ACL and meniscus completely, and I had to have surgery, so I waited for a really long time. This was last year in May when I had the surgery, and I actually did not walk for a really long time. I was trying to recover. And during that time when I was on my bed, it was so easy for me to curse God and say, why?
why do I have to be in this situation? I can't move, I can't play anymore, I can't do anything. But during that quiet, quiet, still moment, when I was in bed, I can't move, I felt that God was speaking to me at that time. And He was speaking to me through the love of my parents, my family members, my relatives, my church friends, and whatnot. They were caring for me. And that's when I realized that I'm okay. I'm going to be fine because God is taking care of me. He's watching over me. And if He had put me in that situation, I don't think I would have thought of that or probably taken that for granted. And so during my moment of recovery, I was able to experience His love and His grace for me. So that was last year again. So I'm still recovering from recently hearing prayer for me about.
It might take about a few more months to heal soon. But yeah, that was what I was able to learn. And so for all of us, you know, who is Jesus? Who is He? It's interesting if you look in the passage how it ends like that. Mark does that a lot. In fact, I think he intends for his reader to reflect on who Jesus is and His divine authority over nature. In fact, Mark, his answer is kind of sprinkled all throughout the gospel. He starts off this gospel this way by saying that Jesus is the Christ. And then you have Peter's confession to Christ, of Christ. Then, what strangely, we even have the evil spirits kind of reveal Jesus' identity, saying that He is the Son of God. And during crucifixion, we have the centurion. He says, "Surely this is the Son of God." During baptism, we have God. He says, "This is my beloved Son whom I love." And He does it again in Jesus' transfiguration. The Holy One of God, the Son of the Most High, the King of the Jews, and so on and so on and so on. So how has Jesus revealed Himself to you? Maybe this year, past last year, this week. What about today? I hope that you are able to learn more about Him as He revealed Himself to you in mighty ways. Not just what you think He is, but really who He is. And so God deals with the difficulties in our lives to bring Him the most glory and us the most good. And next, we'll look at, you know, His peace in creating storms. Did you notice that the winds and the waves did not bother Jesus? If we could learn to see how He sees it, the storms, I don't think we'd be scared at all. We have the disciples. They worked. They worried. They feared. What did Jesus do? He slept peacefully, knowing that everything would be okay. You see, He knew what they did not. He knew what was ahead. He knew He wouldn't die in the sea because He was headed to the cross. He knew the disciples, they won't die at sea because He knows that they were destined for greater things. That's why He was able to sleep while they sweated. And did you know that He still knows what's beyond our storms? And He knows what we will face down the road, how He will use us, and how He will bless us. He also knows whether or not we will die in the storm. But regardless of whatever you and I may be facing today, let me remind you that God is not upset about it all. In fact, He has the matter well in His hand so that we can rest, because His sleeping days are over forever. It says in Psalm chapter 121, verse 34, "He who never sleeps nor slumber will keep you safely through the dark, stormy nights of your life." Next, we'll look at and remember who controls the storm. We'll look at His words. His word says in verse 35, "Let us go over to the other side." Now the disciples, they had His promise, but they still did not believe Him. Now how often is it true for your life and mine? You know, sometimes when we go to pray, we would pray to God and ask Him to help us, and we say we're going to trust in Him. But the minute that we finish praying, I don't know about you, but I'm really guilty of it. Sometimes I'll try to work the matter in my own hand and try to fix it. And so we have His word in a matter, but we still worry and we still fear. When will we ever learn that these storms in our lives and trials can never pass the boundaries of His Word? If He has promised us to anything, then He will do just that. What about His works? He got up, rebuked the wind, and we see that Jesus didn't pray to God. He demonstrated His power just by His Word and His works. And Jesus, in His own power and might, stills the storm. So what the Lord creates, He controls it. And what God puts into action, He has it perfectly under control. And even as the storm will never pass the boundary of His Word, then it will never pass the boundary of His power and works. And what about His will? Verse 35, it says, He said to the disciples. Did you notice that? It was the Lord's idea to get them into the boat to sail in the storm. And oftentimes, when we face difficult times, and when we're doing, doing right things in the eyes of God, and sometimes when things don't go the way that we expected, how many times our first thought is, we must be out of God's will. Well, it's always good to have a checkup, but for these disciples, they found themselves in a storm because they were in God's will. He sent them there, so He will see them through. And for us, I love this quote. It says, if God brings us to it, He will bring us through it. When our faith is secured in God, no matter what happens in our circumstances, our faith would not waver because it is grounded in God. Because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so just as the storms would never pass the boundaries of His Word and His works, they will never pass the boundary of His will in our lives. Because if He is sovereign, and the Bible teaches us that He is, then we must trust that this truth, that everything in life is under His control. He determines the duration, the severity, and the results. And to see this truth in action, we can look at Job's life. We all know that God blessed Job with an abundance, with so many different things, but He also tested him. And we see he was actually faithful, and he worshiped God, and he turned to God in his pain and his suffering. And he continues to worship Him again and again. And in the end, we find that God actually restored his life and blessed them even more. And so God controlled exactly what happened to him, how long it lasted, and how it ended. Because God is in control. And last, we remember who calms the storm by looking at the rebuke. Now, the disciples, they were tired of rowing and worrying and crying. But nothing that they did had any effect until they called on Jesus. And we have Jesus says, peace, be still. And the problem, it was solved instantly. We serve a God who is able to speak peace to our storms as well. And the hour will come when He will take that storm and rebuke it and take it away in His time. And next we'll look at the response. It says, the wind ceased. This little phrase describes a situation where in one moment there was a great storm, and then the next moment there was a great calm. And instantly this storm was gone, and then we can picture that the Sea of Galilee was actually very peaceful and very calm. And again, He can do this to your life and mine. He can speak the word, and then these storms will cease in His time. However, Jesus would often allow the storm to continue in our lives until it has accomplished its purposes. But in the midst of that, He gives us His peace. He comes alongside with us. And He may not always change our circumstances, but if we yield to Him, He will change you in your circumstances. I don't know about you, but for me, Him changing me is worth more than Him changing the circumstances. And last, we'll look at the relief. You know, when they see this, the disciples, they were filled with awe and amazement. They were thrilled that the storm, and they weren't in the storm anymore. There's no more danger. So they probably felt so good. But at the same time, they're wondering, like, who is this person? Who is this Jesus? But at least they were relieved. And so it's kind of a similar relief for us when Jesus calms and moves in our storms. When He calms the storms, or when He calms our heart, there is that sense of release, that relief that the worst is over. And we are left at the power and majesty of God. And perhaps that is one reason why He allows us to weather the difficult times in our lives. Can you remember a time when He did that for you? He wants us to come to a place where we learn firsthand that God is able to do anything, and that He is worthy of our praise and worship. I mean, it's one thing to hear it from others, but for us to experience it personally, it's powerful. So back to my experience as a kid, I remember every time, when I hear thunder or see lightning, I would run to my mom. And I remember waking up just to kind of check if she was there. And if she was, then I realized that everything is still okay. I don't think it occurred to me that maybe for my mom sleeping that, oh, maybe she's just ignorant of storms, that she doesn't even know or realize what's happening. But it's not that. But it's the fact that I trust her. And I take her calmness and her peacefulness to mean that everything is okay. And so for us, as we look at this passage, instead of looking past Jesus who could save us or try to avoid all these storms in our lives, we actually need to go back in the boat where Jesus is, who's asleep, and rely on God's power and His word and His works for us. And let us remember who creates the storm, who controls the storm, and who calms the storm in our lives. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. You love us and You care for us. And You planned out everything that is to happen in our lives. Whether we would suffer or whether we'd be blessed, whatever it is, Lord God, You are in control. And I pray for the things that we might be dealing with, that through it we will learn so much more about You, which will reveal that to us, more of who You are, and that we'll grab hold of You and never let go and trust You, that You would help us and change us slowly and slowly, and each step that we would get to experience this wonderful thing that the disciples have experienced. And so, God, we give these problems and burdens in Your hands because we know that in Your timing, You will make things well. And so, Father, we lift up this week and we thank You for the things that You have blessed us with, whether it's good or even the difficulties that we are facing, because You are sovereign. You are good. You are the Almighty God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.